pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Can you believe it? All signs point to go for the Bundesliga.
Dean! Vamos! I know. That's all I got. I think that's go in German, though, right?
By the way, this segment of the program brought to you by Babbel.
Hey, we're back together, Tim. Yeah. This is kind of weird. We're donning masks, you know, but still enough. We're together again.
We are together. We've got our own, I guess we've got our own sound echo killer.
Yeah.
In having these masks on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a role reversal because you've got Memphis 901 FC as a mask. Right. I've got Star Wars, which is more Geek Tank.
I know. It's fun. It's a full circle here. But you're wearing a 901 shirt. So.
I am wearing a 901 shirt today. No shorts. If they sell them, I'd probably buy them.
I would don some 901 underwear too. But speaking of, the USL Players Association is like a thing.
Nice transition from your drawers to compensation.
Well, speaking of drawers, you know, they're digging in the drawers to find something, some way to still make it happen.
The USL owners are asking the players to make some changes to compensation. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then also, the U.S. Women's National Team is looking for compensation. They're fighting for equal pay. They lost that decision recently, but they're appealing. We'll have more on the saga of soccer worldwide and right here in the States. So much to finally talk about. Brody and I are in the... We're in the Center Circle studio. I'll be damned. We're actually here.
We're actually here. This is it.
We've got our shin guards on. We've got our mask on. And we're ready to go. This is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
This podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters.
But we want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services and actually made the switch to Podcave.
Yeah, combining all the tools that we need to make the best shows we can to make them available on all the platforms you use and to always stay connected with you. Now, Podcave provides unlimited audio storage for all of our episodes, new and old. They're always available whenever you want them.
Our website, by the way, it's included, built in to Podcave. So you can, you know, find us on one place.
It's really that easy. And by the way, I know there's a hang up. Music and soundscapes that we use on the show, well, they're professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave, so you don't have to worry about finding them, nor do you have to worry about getting sued for using music without their permission.
That's such a big deal. We get an email, by the way, and text engagement tools to stay in touch with you. Guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines, which is a huge time saver.
We used to have to piecemeal all this stuff. It cost hundreds of dollars every month, and we had to have all these different accounts with different passwords and different windows. It was a mess.
To say the least, it was a mess. Podcave put all that together, one spot, and it only costs $49 a month. Hosting and distribution, a killer website, episode planning, everything we need, $49 a month, Tim.
Save time and money with Podcave. Try it free for 1 month. Go to podcave.com/my3subs and get a month on us. That's podcave.com/my3subs.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Well, it looks like we're going to have some soccer on television this weekend. Yes. That's live. It's not on demand. It's the real deal. It's the Bundesliga of all of the leagues.
The entire world will be watching the exact same way.
Can you imagine what their advertising rates could be if they chose to take advantage of this?
This is Super Bowl times 1,000 because this is the only thing on. And we have been just yearning for something. And here it is. We got her something.
I believe this is going to be on Fox Sports 1. I think that's typically where they carry it on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So
why wouldn't just Fox carry it anyway? I mean, what programming do they have that could be more important right now?
Can you believe it? This weekend, the two scheduled sporting events that are set to go are Bundesliga
yeah.
and NASCAR. Couldn't be any more different.
I mean, Polar opposites.
Well, you know, actually, now that you think of it, with the Audubon, actually, they're
very similar. You could go the exact same speed in Germany as you can on, you know, I guess, if you had enough car.
NASCAR. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I think they're racing in, is it Charlotte this weekend?
Charlotte, yeah.
Yeah. So big weekend in NASCAR and
huge weekend in soccer.
You know, listen to our sister podcast, My Three Pit Stops.
Yeah, we got to start that.
Yeah. So Bundesliga going to try to get this going. And it's this whole thing is so interesting because you have this multi-layered cake of coronavirus because you've got when do we get back to the matches? Who's all coming to the matches? And, of course, closed doors, but there is at least one team that's going to have cardboard cutouts that they've sold with the likenesses of fans.
Yeah.
And then what happens, and I think this is the universal question, and I think the universal question that that's going to have to be answered in the United States, too, is what happens when a player tests positive?
Yeah, because they are testing positive, not to transition too far away yet, is, you know, we're getting positive tests in Premier League still. And so does that push the timeline back or does it mean that, well, they just can't play? And I mean, what are the ramifications now of a positive test?
The UK government, to refer to the UK, has said that sport can reopen on June 1st behind closed doors. Logistically, they can't get matches up and running by then because they really haven't started any training that would be any semblance of the first team squad anyway. But, you know, you've got rugby, golf courses, I think, golf tournaments are going to be reopening mainly behind closed doors. But as you said, is it the Brighton players? There's a few Brighton players. The
Brighton players just tested positive. So, again, do you sit back and go, well, full reset, you know, on the whole thing? So that's another 14 days, right, is they deemed as being the golden window there. So another 14 days, you know, and then what happens if somebody tests? See, it could be ever-changing, or you could just say, well, they're out.
Yeah, what's the rule? Because you have over in the second division of Germany, you have a whole team that's going to have to sit out that's supposed to start. So that's going to throw a wrench in the works.
Yep.
Do you quarantine an individual or a few individuals and keep plowing through? That could be another possibility. But there is no precedent for this.
No.
So I don't know if you can criticize one way or or the other. And also, are the players being consulted in all of this? Because to me, at times, it seems like we're assuming the players are superheroes and we're just blowing through the fact that they couldn't possibly get infected on a larger scale. Now, let's be honest, the mortality rate is extremely low, but the chance of picking up an illness and it ping-ponging around the team is kind of significant.
Right, and how it affects individual to individual, we already know that to be vastly different.
And then you send those players home to their families.
Right. Right. And who knows what their situations are.
Premier League is looking at a couple of options. The head of police enforcement in the UK wants the matches to be held behind closed doors at neutral sites. So you would have maybe Liverpool and Everton maybe going to Manchester to play or Newcastle and having them move around. You know, we even saw a far-fetched idea where Australia wanted to have the whole Premier League come over there. That's not going to happen. But the teams themselves, all 20 seem to be very much in lockstep in that they want to have the home and away matches as they are supposed to be scheduled because you have five or six teams that are threatened relegation and they believe even playing on their home pitch where they are familiar, the familiarity of the pitch, the bounces, the dimensions all come into play for them and they do not want to run that risk of losing any advantage at this point. And I don't either.
I don't blame them.
Now, there's also some talk still out there that the season is over, that this will not happen. Couple of things on this, and there's a pro and a con on this. The pro is you get a chance to let all this pass by, but the con is you miss out on hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue, and then you got to figure out, well, do you do relegation? And if so, how do you do that when all the teams have not played equal games? Exactly. One concept is points per match. Gary Neville's come out and poo-pooed that and said that's just not fair because not all the teams have played exactly the same teams.
Yeah.
But then I kind of take more of a hard line on this. in that you should not assume that there's always a tomorrow. You should always play for today.
Right.
And say, well, screw that. You know, maybe we tank this game. We can pick up some points next week. You shouldn't ever assume that there's a tomorrow. And this is one of the ways that life can hit you hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think that no matter what, people are not going to be happy. No matter what the decision is, people will automatically go, there's a flaw here. So I think no matter what is decided, it will be flawed. But they have to make a decision. Okay, I think at this point, we've gone far along enough, a couple weeks here, where we've tossed a bunch of ideas out. What is sticking? And we need to zero in on those stuck ideas. I don't think playing necessarily on neutral site is going to be feasible for a lot of teams.
Well, it's going to tear up the turf, for one thing.
Exactly. You're going to have a couple stadiums that are that will be deemed as neutral. And we're going to get... this is my problem with even the MLS, and we'll get to that in just a second.
By the way, let me interject. Wembley's pitch is typically crap.
Right. Anyway, so... Okay, that's your neutral site for three teams. If you're on that third game of that on that pitch, you're donezo.
Yeah.
You're looking at injury. You're looking at a whole bunch of, you know, a litany of other factors that you're sitting here going, well, listen, you just, you know, you deemed us to hell, if you will.
And not only do you have that injury risk because of the field, you have those in spite of the fact that there's going to be likely increased substitutions. You'll still have three opportunities to make subs, but on a couple of those, you can make two subs or three subs for a total of five substitutions in a match. So while there is that precaution that's being put in place, now let's take that down the rung to the English Football League, to the English League Championship, League One, and League Two. And some of the teams are going to be in financial peril if they don't get these matches going, because gate revenue is everything.
I mean, we
to these guys.
We saw Sunderland till I die. We understand. I now have a new understanding of the importance of putting butts in the seats.
Yeah.
You know, especially in those where there is just no TV revenue, if at all. So, yeah, you're going to have those teams. Sure, you're playing soccer. But at what cost? Because you still have to play the players. You still have to pay, you know, the people who are there, you know, to help put this thing on, even with no fans. We mentioned that a couple weeks ago in the podcast. So you can go back and listen to that at my3subspodcast.com.
This is very odd, by the way. I'm getting lost in your eyes because that's all I can see right now. I can see where Emily fell for you. I'm just getting lost in your eyes.
It's ocean blue, baby. Ocean blue.
To recap, the Premier League looking at starting sometime in June, and there is an offer on the table to go, I guess, to the Players Association, the Players Union, to extend contracts beyond June 30th, because typically that's when the season is considered to have ended. So they're going to have to make that concession as well. But across Europe, I mean, we've seen some leagues such as France, Ligue 1 is done. The Netherlands, they're done. Others are kind of waiting and seeing. Italy, by the way, begins training. They're allowing players in coming up Monday the 18th.
Right.
So there's still some opportunity maybe to see some Serie A. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with La Liga.
I think it'll be interesting what happens next week with Bundesliga playing this weekend.
I think a couple of things are going to happen. One, I think that we're going to see just how surreal it is without fans there. But I think if the action is pretty good, I think other countries are going to be champing at the bit.
Yeah.
Or is it chomping? Champing or chomping? They're going to champion. They're going to be so ready to cash in.
Yeah.
And get back on the pitch. But again, at what cost to players, perceived player safety?
And going back to the start of this thing, that TV revenue, that ad revenue, is going to be through the roof. I mean, it's going to be exorbitant. Anyway, that being said, speaking of TV revenue, looks like we're going to have a lot of MLS to watch in 45 days. I don't know how they're going to deal with this, but MLS going to stateside here is looking at Orlando being the host city for everybody. And basically doing like a round robin tournament kind of thing. I don't know I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, honestly. And more importantly, I don't know. Is Orlando a safe harbor? Like, does coronavirus go, nope, Mickey lives there. We're good.
I mean, does the heat and humidity, you know, I mean, does that make it exempt? I know they have a few pitches in around there. I mean, they have Central Florida. They have Orlando City Stadium, the Wide World of Sports at Disney.
Disney, right.
Can have the matches there. So there's plenty of spaces, but I believe there are some other sites that are maybe being studied as well.
L.A., Kansas City.
I think Dallas. Because you've got several pitches that can work there because you can play in the Cotton Bowl. You can play in Frisco.
Right.
You can play
Jerry's World.
You can play in Jerry's World. You can actually play in Jerry's Practice World as well. They have a facility in Frisco where that would probably work as well. So they have numerous pitches there, which I don't know if indoor or outdoor would be better. Probably outdoor.
It'd be easier to close it off to fans if it's indoor, you know, because you could close it up lock, stock, and barrel. Whereas opposed to outdoor, you might have run the risk of fence hoppers. I know I would. You know, I'm just saying. If given the opportunity to watch the match from a distance in my car or on top of the roof of my car or whatever, I'd do it. I'd do it.
Worth the risk?
I've done it before.
Yeah.
You know. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but.
Yep. Yeah, please don't take our advice on anything other than visiting our sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually, you know, the smart play. Let's talk about the USL.
Yeah.
The division just beneath the MLS. League owners have gone through the league, which is the appropriate channel, to send a request to the USL Players Association asking for, air fingers quote, financial relief. And just this year, the league voluntarily recognized the USLPA as the collective bargaining body for the players.
Which is big.
Yeah, it's a big deal. That's a big deal because I think there'd been, you know, some scrutiny over wages and, you know, I guess
some contracts
and whatnot. Yeah. So I, you know, whether or not, and I have to admit at this point, I don't know what the specifics are. If that is a direct just pay cut across the board,
right,
or if it is a deferment of payments or some hybrid thereof, but the league has reached out. The USLPA has responded and said in an official statement, well, we've received that request. So we know that the request has been made and it has been received. So it's kind of like UPS or FedEx tracking.
It's been signed for.
Yeah.
They haven't opened the package. We don't know if they've opened the package.
Yeah.
Or discussed that package.
Yeah. So I think there could be some USL clubs that are in financial peril too if action doesn't get back, because many of these clubs, while they may be hitched to maybe another sport, some are standalones.
Yeah.
And it's driven by fan revenue. And as you've seen on websites with some of these clubs, I mean, they do such a great job drawing fan interest and getting fans to the matches, but that's where the dollars are. The dollars is, it's not in the ESPN3 contracts. No. I mean, there's probably a little bit of money in there, but not
enough
to sustain the clubs. So my concern
MLS
is...
MLS could probably get by playing with fanless, but the USL... probably not.
No, because there's really not a... ESPN2 is a national game of the week, but that's one game each week, and the rest of them are on streaming.
I mean, here locally, we do have that joy of watching most matches on local TV.
Yeah.
But that's here. You know, that's not everywhere. Not everywhere has a local TV sponsor.
Right.
Backing their team.
Right.
So
I guess in the next several days, and by the time the next podcast rolls around, it should come maybe more to light of what the specifics are. I mean, what we've heard is perhaps in the form of a pay cut, but what they agree to may be a totally different thing. Maybe it's, we'll take a little bit of a cut now, but you'll pay us, you know, if the season starts, we'll get this back on the end of the season.
And I think at the end of the day, we are going to have a completely different world to look at, courtesy of the Bundesliga, and what happens there. If it's a success, oh boy.
I can't wait to see the matches to see who has stayed in shape and who's put like 7 or 10 pounds on is just lugging that donut around their gut.
We joke up with Coach and all the coaches that we've talked to, Mulqueen and
Pearman
yeah. and everybody about that. But it's true. You know, I genuinely am like, okay, who's eating all the barbecue?
You know?
I'm sticking to the diet, sure, but you're also watching SpongeBob for 16 hours straight.
But, you know, in all fairness, if you're not getting that structure and those specific training coachings on a daily or semi-daily basis in person and being driven and told exactly how to make those movements, I could see where it's more difficult.
Yeah.
I could really see where it's more difficult. So it'll be interesting in the Bundesliga to see the truth come out and who's been in shape and who's not. And very excited to see Gio Reyna.
I know.
To play.
It's going to be fun.
You know, of course, Claudio Reyna's son, the Wonder Kid, and of course, Erling Haaland with Dortmund. Be good to see him back. Surely he hasn't come back with the freshman 15. Or the quarantine 15.
The quarantine 15?
Yeah.
Can we make that a thing?
I think that already is a thing, but I don't think it's been trademarked, so I think we can at least, you know, throw that out there.
I'm going to, quarantine-y that.
Yeah, quarantine-y that. And then one other item of note, the U.S. Women's National Team did file an appeal.
Yes.
We mentioned last week that a judge said no to a couple of their assertions in their 66 point however million dollar class action lawsuit against U.S. Soccer Federation, where it looked like they were victims of their own collective bargaining agreement. But they're going to appeal that decision, and I think that's I think we're looking at a June, at least now June, but you know, who knows with the court docket if things will get backed up into the summer.
This wasn't supposed to that decision wasn't supposed to happen until June, I thought.
Right.
So
they're appealing that. We'll update you as that comes out in the weeks and months ahead. But in the meantime, coming up, we've got John Huska.
Huska.
And it's interesting because he was really the, along with Tony Carmignani, Tony Field, and John Huska. Those were the big three, the most popular players for the Memphis Rogues in the North American Soccer League. They played here from 1978 to 1980. John came straight out of college and played here. And of course, he's going to talk about that match where they beat the New York Cosmos because he was in goal.
He was there.
Fresh out of college, like his second or third game, I think.
Could you imagine?
And he's playing Giorgio Canalia, Carlos Alberto, and the New York Cosmos. He's going to talk about that. He's also going to talk about, I think, maybe his biggest regret, because he had one big career regret, and he's going to talk about that, which I thought absolutely fascinating. A lot of people
shy
away from that. It's a sore spot. I love the fact that he tackles it head on, and we're going to talk to John about that. And also just a quick fact as well about John. When he was in goal in 1978, no goalkeeper that has ever played for Memphis 901 FC was even born at that time. That includes Tim Howard.
Wow.
That's how far back we're going.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think that makes John like 63 or 64. And he's got some good memories. We're going to talk about that coming up. And then I guess we're ready to go. Let's talk to John Huska.
All right, let's get him on.
All right, that comes up next on My Three Subs.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.